Good evening. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity speaking this evening in our series, 12 Marks of a Transformed Life. You know, our theme here at Estes over the year has come from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, as the posters on the wall behind me indicate. We're trying to focus on being transformed as Christians, transforming ourselves closer into the image of our Savior. And we don't want to be conformed to this world, as Paul writes to the Christians there in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We don't want to be conformed. We don't want to act like the world acts, but we want to be transformed. And so it's easy to conform, right? That's the easy thing to do. Perhaps the natural thing is just to go with the flow, what everybody else is doing around us. And the hard thing is to be intentional about how we live our lives in a transformed way. And so we've already had several lessons in the series, and I unfortunately have been out of town the last three Wednesday nights, so I'm coming in and haven't had the opportunity to hear Daniel and John and Alex present their lessons on sincerity, discernment, and affection. So I'm at a bit of a disadvantage. If I repeat some things that were said in previous Wednesday nights, I apologize. But these ideas are coming from Romans chapter 12. So if you want to open up your Bibles there to Romans chapter 12, again, the first two verses of that chapter are where our theme is coming from of transformation. But jumping down to verse 9 and following, in these passages is where we're finding these what we're calling marks of a transformed life. And the one we want to talk about tonight is honor, and that's found in the second part of verse 10. Let's read verses 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 12. From the New King James Version, we read, "Let love be without hypocrisy," and that's the sincerity mark that was talked about. I think Daniel may have had that topic a few weeks ago. Paul goes on to say, "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good," and that's our mark of discernment that was discussed a few weeks ago. And then in verse 10, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love," what we talked about last week, affection. And then the latter part of verse 10, "In honor, giving preference to one another," is what we want to talk about tonight. Now, from the English Standard Version, I think we have a little bit better translation that captures the meaning of what Paul says here. So I wanted to read that too. Verses 9 and 10, again from the ESV, reads, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." So some of the commentators that I read said that really is the idea here when in the New King James Version we read the word preferring. That really means going before or leading or setting an example. Thus, in showing mutual respect and honor, Paul was encouraging the Christians to strive to excel, not to see which could obtain the most honor, but which could confer the most honor. So literally here, what we're asked to do is to take the lead of each other in showing honor. So we're in a competition here, you and me and the rest of us, and we're competing not to see who can obtain the most honor for themselves, but who can confer the most honor upon others. That's the idea here. So let's talk about this idea. How do we confer honor upon others? You know, Father's Day is coming up. Just a quick reminder for people out there in the audience that Father's Day, I think it's this Sunday, isn't it? And I believe straight from the eldership here last month was said that Mother's Day was just a warm-up to the big event of Father's Day. I believe I remember an elder making that comment. So just keep that in mind, anybody out there that might be needing to honor their father coming up. But let me ask you, what do you do to honor a father? Is getting them a new pair of socks or a new tie the best way to show honor? Let me ask some of you fathers, if you don't mind speaking up. If your children came to you or anyone came to you and said, what do you want me to do to honor you as a father? If you could say anything you could anything you wanted, what would it be? How could we honor you as a father? Obedience. Okay. Great answer. Great answer. That's one of the first things I probably would have come up with. Okay. New set of clubs. All right. That was probably the second thing I would come up with. Respect. Okay.
Be a good Christian.
Have your children be a good Christian. Yeah. So it's not really about the cards and the gift cards and the golf clubs, although those are nice things, right? And probably wouldn't turn those down. But really the important thing, if you want to honor a parent, honor a father or honor a mother, as some of these comments indicate, it's really live your life in a way that honors them, right? Be obedient, respectful, be a good Christian, and in that way you show honor. So, in the same sense, as we try to confer honor upon those around us, it perhaps includes verbally affirming them and saying nice things about them and compliments and so forth. But it's more than that. There's more to conferring honor upon someone. There's got to be some action there, not just lip service. Now, this would have been and still is, unfortunately, in our world today, a transformative notion. What does our world say about honor? Does the world place a priority on conferring honor on others? That's a low thing on the totem pole, Mr. Little said. Yeah. According to the world, not a high priority, is it? As a matter of fact, we have lots of examples of people being, just seeking honor for themselves and not really interested in honoring others. And so it's transformative. It was transformative in the day in which this letter to the Romans was written, and it's still a transformative idea in our world today. Can you think of some examples of from Scripture of situations where people were found not to be looking to bestow honor on others, but were thinking about and wanting honor for themselves? Any passages come to mind? Absalom, okay, in the Old Testament, David's son, certainly had his own agenda. Joseph's brothers, okay, certainly weren't very honorable when it came to how they treated Joseph, were they? The elder brother in the story of the prodigal son, another good example. The apostles, yeah, that's one I thought of. They had an argument amongst them, right, about who was going to be the greatest. Yeah. So they weren't interested in conferring honor upon their fellow brethren. They were interested in maybe exalting themselves. I think also about what Jesus had to say about the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. If you guys want to turn over to Matthew chapter 23, I'm going to read verses 2 through 7. And I think this somewhat epitomizes this wrong attitude about honor. Tribes and the Pharisees, according to Jesus, were all about exalting themselves. Let's read Matthew 23, verses 2 through 7. Here Jesus says, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. So this was the prevailing attitude in that society. The scribes and the Pharisees epitomized how people were somewhat self-seeking, seeking to bring glory to themselves and not to confer honor upon others. And the other examples that have been mentioned serve to illustrate that as well. One other one that you might not think of right off the top of your head is found in 3 John. One of the commentaries that I read mentioned this individual, Diotrephes. You guys remember Diotrephes from 3 John? Verses 9 and 10 of that one chapter epistle, in verses 9 and 10 we read, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church." So this individual, Diotrephes, loved to have the preeminence. You know, he wanted it to be all about him and not about honoring others. So in this passage in Romans, we're called upon to try to outdo one another, not in gaining honor for ourselves, but in conferring honor upon each other. All right, so what does a congregation look like that's doing this well? Okay, that's a good illustration. There are several relationships that are mentioned specifically in Scripture in which we're called upon especially to confer honor, and one of those is upon the elders that serve well. And let's see, I had that passage here somewhere, if I can put my finger on it. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Brother Sain is alluding to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, I believe. Let's just read that real quick. "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." So double honor in that sense is due an elder who serves well and who also labors in the ministry. And so not only would that individual be worthy of our honor because of the position he holds, but also worthy of our honor in the sense that he is has an expectation of our supporting him financially, taking care of his physical needs as well. All right, so certainly in a congregation that is transformed in the way that that is mentioned here in Romans, we're going to see a congregation that honors the elders. What does that mean exactly? When a congregation shows honor to the elders. Okay, respect is often mentioned hand in hand with honor, right? And I think it's certainly a big part of showing honor is just the idea of showing respect. Does honor include anything more than just respect? Would you consider those synonyms or? Okay, when the elders are mentioned in prayer, prayed for by the members of the congregation, that's a way of honoring them. Certainly, probably the best blessing you can bestow on anyone, right, is to remember them in your prayers. Okay, being supportive of the decisions that the elders make for the congregation, whether they are what we perhaps would have decided on our own or not, I would add. In a congregation of any size, there are going to be myriad opinions about things, and it's the job of the elders to make decisions for the congregation in accordance with Scripture, and it's the job of the congregation to follow the lead of the elders in those decisions that they make. It would be dishonorable to do otherwise. Yeah, it goes back to what we were talking about with honoring fathers. It's nice to get a card on Father's Day, but what a father really wants is for their children to be honorable, obedient, living a Christian life all of the days of their life, right? And the same thing would be true for us as a congregation. If we're being honorable and conferring honor, then we're going to do that not just when we assemble together, but we're going to do that every day of our lives to the best of our ability. It's a good point. Certainly, we would hope that the elders are honorable men and worthy of honor. But in preparing for this lesson, as I mentioned before, there are several groups mentioned in Scripture where honor is specifically required. What are some of the things you can think of in Scripture where one group is said to honor another group? Am I being too vague here? Okay, the first one that probably comes to mind is parents and their children, right? Obviously, in Ephesians chapter 6, we read that children are not only to obey their parents in the Lord, but to honor their fathers and mothers. Do fathers and mothers always act in a way deserving of honor? Do fathers and mothers make mistakes? Are fathers and mothers human beings? Well, certainly, I think any of us that have been parents know that we've made mistakes. But, that's beside the point. A parent is deserving of the honor of a child simply because they're the parent. And it doesn't matter whether, there's no let me decide whether you deserve my honor and respect or not as a child. God calls on children to honor their fathers and their mothers. By the way, how does a child do that? I know I'm kind of coming back to this point, but I want to make sure that I drive it home. How does a child honor their father and mother? Well, they don't just do it with lip service, right? To honor a parent has some action involved there too, not only perhaps just in the way you live your life, but in your later years you might be called upon to care for your parents and in whatever way you deem appropriate, but to provide for your parents. Remember the passage in Matthew chapter 15 where the scribes and the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of men? Because they're not doing the ceremonial hand washing that was prescribed by the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus in turn says, well, why do you transgress the commandments of God? God commanded that you honor your father and mother. And apparently what was going on with some at that time was that they were taking whatever money that they would have used to support their father and mother and giving it as an offering and saying, well, you know, I don't have anything to give to my father and mother because I'm giving this as an offering. And so Jesus was condemning of the scribes and Pharisees, called them hypocrites because of that practice. And so my point is that I think honor goes beyond just lip service, right? There often is required action. And in the case of parents and children, a child is expected to be obedient to their parents and later in life perhaps care for their parents as they are able to. In a congregation, an eldership relationship, the congregation is certainly expected to do more than just pay lip service to the eldership if they're truly going to honor them. Ruth and, So let me try to chase for the last couple of minutes that we have here. Let me try to chase another path. So who are we expected to show honor to as Christians? I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, there are lots of different groups. Rulers, those in positions of authority. Let's mention just real quickly while, Larry, since you brought that up, in Romans chapter 13, Paul talks about this idea of respecting those in positions of authority. In verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 13, we read, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." And if you jump down to verse 7 in Romans 13, Paul then writes, "Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." I think this is a big problem in our society today. It seems like when you turn on the TV or pick up a magazine or newspaper or just hear people talking, the prevailing attitude is, if you have a difference of opinion with me, then you're a terrible person and I can attack you and call you all sorts of names. And that's okay because you have a difference of opinion. And there's absolutely no honor or respect being shown for individuals, you know, in a political setting or otherwise. Does anybody else feel that way, or is it just me? I just feel like, you know, let's just take the President of the United States, for example. Well, I was going to back up, actually. So Angela says, well, we all have a right to a difference of opinion, and I certainly agree with that. But I don't think having a difference of opinion with someone gives you the right to attack someone in a lot of the ways that we see individuals being attacked in our society. And even before Trump became president, you know, I feel like I saw that same behavior when Barack Obama was our president. You know, he may have had opinions that some of us disagreed with, just like Trump may have opinions that some of us disagree with. But whether we're talking about Barack Obama or whether we're talking about Donald Trump or any other elected official, according to Scripture here, are we not as Christians expected to honor those people because they are in positions of authority? So I think we might do well to be careful about our disposition and our attitude and the things that we say and the things that we do. And you know, the whole reason that this is important is because whatever we do as Christians is a reflection on who? On our Savior whom we claim to follow, and on our God Himself. And certainly our God is worthy of all honor. As a matter of fact, back to my question of who should we honor, I was hoping that someone might come up with everyone. Okay. Absolutely. Starting with God, number one, who is worthy of all honor and praise, right? But you see, I see a connection there. As a matter of fact, you know, we know that God the Father is worthy of honor. We know that Jesus, His Son, is also worthy of honor. And if you read in John chapter 5, if you want to turn over there real quickly, John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Jesus makes this point: "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So it's impossible to honor the Father and not honor the Son. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, is the head of what? The head of the church. Human beings, back in Genesis, are created in the what? Image of God. So, is anybody following my train of thought here? If we show dishonor to our fellow mankind, especially to those of the household of faith, if we show dishonor, then in a sense, that trickles up, if you will, and just like dishonoring the Son dishonors God, I see dishonoring our fellow human beings created in the image of God is, in a sense, dishonoring God Himself. And certainly bringing dishonor or dishonoring those that are in the body of Christ would be a dishonor to Christ Himself, would it not? Would it be possible to dishonor the body of Christ and not be dishonorable to Christ Himself? I don't think that would be possible. So, we have just a minute or two before our bell is going to ring. Any last thoughts or comments before we wrap up here? Veterans, certainly, absolutely. I wanted to mention, since Daniel mentioned that about the hair earlier on, by the way, you know, it's troubling when you first find that balding spot back there. I try to cover it up, Daniel, but it's there. But this might make you feel better. Let's see. Oh, I don't have that verse in here. There's some verse in the Bible about the bald-headed person. That's a position of honor, so there you are. But I'm sidetracked. Somebody else had a thought, I think. Brandon? Yes. Yeah, 1 Peter 2:17, Brandon is quoting from. Honor all people is how that passage starts. And it's interesting that at the end, when Peter says honor the king or honor the emperor, most likely that would have been Nero. So again, to the point that those in position of authority, we may not agree with, and we may feel like they're even doing things evil in the sight of God, but they, being in a position of authority, are deserving of honor, regardless of whether we agree with them or not. Okay. Yeah. Any other thoughts before we close up, wrap up? Go ahead. Okay, Mrs. Sain is reminding us in Romans chapter 10 about how those ministers are characterized as how beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel, and that they're deserving of our honor and respect as well. And sometimes we don't do a very good job of that. A little? Very good. Prayer is never a bad thing. I can't think of a single scenario in which praying for someone would be a bad thing. So that's always appropriate, I think. So, you know, at Estes Church of Christ, if we want to be transformed in this way, if we want to outdo one another in conferring honor, let's look for those opportunities to do that. And that could be a kind word or a pat on the back, a good job. But more than just words, that could be actions. That could be a meal provided that honors someone in need. Anytime we do anything of service for one another, I think that's one way in which we confer honor upon each other. The word honor itself just means to give weight to, as I understand it. And so to give weight to someone, to treat them as if they are important to us, is the way that we honor individuals. And you know, the great thing about it is, if we will become transformed in this way and become people who honor, who try to outdo one another in honor, then we're all going to be honored by one another. And more importantly, we're going to receive honor from our Father when he comes to call his own. I want to close with just a couple of passages that, let me just read one as we close, from Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. In Romans chapter 2, Paul is talking about, essentially, judgment, and is talking about how God is going to judge each of us. And what we hope is that on that day of judgment, that we will receive honor from God for lives lived faithful to him. So jumping in at verse 6 of Romans chapter 2, reading through verse 11. God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. The honor that we hope to have conferred upon us is not honor that we go out in a self-seeking way to try to obtain, but this is the honor we really need to be after. The honor that God is going to bestow upon those who are found faithful to him on that day. So what about you in your life? Are you living a life faithful to God on that great day? Do you have hope, confidence that you're going to have given to you this glory, honor, and peace to those who do what is good? Or is there something in your life that's separating you from God, sin that needs to be repented of? Are you not a child of God? Have you never put on the name of Christ in baptism. If you have any need of any sort, we're here. We love you. We want to honor and help one another. And if you have a need, we would love to try to assist you with that tonight. If you'll make that known by coming forward as together we stand and sing.